Celine Simmons, the Senior Pickleball Report, powered by TNC Network. Let's get it going. In this week of our People of Pickleball episode, we speak with the man who created Om Pickleball, the Aero One racket, the pickleball racket. Yes, you guessed it. This video caused quite a stir on my channel, and it continues to do so. So we find out who he is and what he's up to next, and try and get to the bottom of some of the questions that you may have about the Aero One. All right, folks, but before we get to that, consider subscribing to the channel. Check out all the links in the description below. Our sponsor, Crown, some discounts down there as well, and check out our newsletter and merch pages. All right, folks, let's get to that conversation. All right, Johnny Jabot, welcome to the Senior Pickleball Report. He is obviously created quite a stir on my channel, at least, with the Aero One racket. And I think, you know, the word racket is really what sort of caught people. And it is the biggest, I guess, most viewed video I've ever had, by well over like 1,500 views and huge amount of comments. Back and forths, but we'll get into all of that. But we need to find out first, Johnny, really, I mean, you know, obviously this sport is captivated, not only the US, but it's starting to captivate the globe. And how did it grab you?
Well, just wanted to say, first of all, Sleeves, I appreciate, the intro. And I just wanted to say, as we were talking just before we recorded, but, the amount of people that I've had reach out to me directly to my team, just talking about you and the interview that you did, has been incredible. By far the most, popular reviewer I've had, I would say, is at least in terms of the responses that people are, you have a very passionate following. And I love that. It's really nice.
I appreciate it.
But in terms of getting into pickleball, actually, it's a funny story. It all happened because my wife kicked me out of our other company. Not the house, just a company. So my wife and I are serial entrepreneurs, and we have a few other companies. And one of them, I'm not very good after the first couple of years in any company. I kind of get distracted by shiny objects. I'm like, ooh. And so after a certain number of years in this company, my wife was like, you're a bit of a dead weight here. You need to get out and do something. You're dragging your feet. And so she kicked me out of that. And it just so happened a friend of mine had texted me at the same time. I was like, do you want to come and play pickleball? And I, you know, played it a few years ago. And I thought, yeah, I'll jump down. And I picked up a $9 paddle from the local TK Maxx or whatever the shop was on the way over that I found. And I got out on the courts. And anyway, like everybody else, I got addicted to it. I love the community. I love the people that were playing. I love the fact that 72-year-olds could whoop on 20-year-olds convincingly. And just the joy that people were having. So needless to say, my hour-long escapade turned into a 6 or 7 hour. Got lost until the evening. And then I came back to my wife and I was like, I know what I'm doing. We're starting a new company. It's going to be a pickleball brand. And so she was overjoyed by that statement. You can imagine, just kicked me out in 6 hours. And now I had another company to add to, or at least a plan for a company. And really the reason was, is because I love the game. I love the passion, but I didn't really understand, probably naively, why people were playing with paddles. Because in Britain, what they were playing with the honeycomb core and the cutouts, they were very similar to what we used to play on the beach, just beach tennis. And so I don't like weight distribution. I don't like how they swing. It's more like a push type game, and it was a little slower. And I love that people were addicted to it, but I was talking to some of the guys on the court and they kept going through and playing for 6 hours. And I was like, well, why are you buying what you're buying? And why are you playing with what you're playing with? And no one really gave me an answer. And no one could really tell me much about how their paddle was constructed. So me being me, I just basically offered to buy cash all of the paddles that were on the floor. And I bought as many as people would give them to me. And I took them home and jigsawed them all open.
Oh.
And just have a look and just to see how they were built. And, you know, they're practically all the same. And it was interesting because I was like, well, I love this game and I love this sport, but why is it so slow? Like, surely it's going to speed up. everything speeds up in sports. And also, where are the tennis players? These guys would be incredible at this sport. And so that was really the genesis of the whole Arm brand. It was building pickleball rackets, basically bringing mini tennis rackets to the game that were, I found afterwards, I had to be USPA approved. So we then had to design it so that it actually passed regulation. But the whole idea was, look, I think the tennis players are going to start coming in. The game is going to start speeding up. There's going to be more passing shots. There's going to be more cross-court shots, more top spin, a bit more like tennis and other racket sports. And basically, the players are going to need something different than paddles. They're going to want a racket, something that they can snap their wrist with, something they can drive hard, have the feel of a tennis racket, even though it doesn't have strings. And so that was my play. And that was about nine months ago. And obviously, over the last year, we've kind of seen the game has sped up. A lot of the tennis players are now dominating. A lot of our players that came from tennis are no longer slowing down their game. And that's not that there's anything wrong with the slow game. It's just different. And so when I was talking to the players and researching how to do this, a lot of the tennis players were saying, you know, my pickleball coach is telling me to slow down and to bring in the game. And I was thinking, well, why not just speed up? You've got 15 years on most of us. You've got great.
Right.
Why would you downgrade the skills you already have? Let me get you a racket and then just take the racket and tennis to pickleball and let's see what happens. And so that's kind of where it started. And that's where we've grown now, much to my wife's chagrin.
Yeah, well, when I hit it and I received it and I took it out, it's like nothing else I've played. It does feel like a racket. I haven't played a lot of tennis, but I played enough tennis to know that what the Era 1 did for me is it made, it was just super nimble, I guess is the best way of putting it for me in my hands. Like I could manipulate it very slightly and make things happen without trying to over-exaggerate on a shot. And actually you could play it a little bit like a table tennis racket, which I got in a back and forth with a guy over the internet on that too, because I had to show, apparently he doesn't know how to Google, but there are parts in the world, large parts of the world where they call it a racket in table tennis. But anyway, I digress. I could just literally, just kind of just maneuvered slightly and it would move the ball so effortlessly. And so when I brought it down to my local court and I gave it to people, you know, it's one of those things, you get something and you're like, oh my gosh, you got to try this. And then everybody else tries it and they go, eh, this wasn't the case. Every single person that's ever hit this racket is gone, holy cow, this is something different. Because like you mentioned earlier, when you were, sawing apart and tearing apart the paddles that you had, they're pretty much made like sandwiches. You know, you got the two ends and you got the little honeycomb in the middle and it's just kind of boxy and it's stick a handle on there and you hit it. And, I get it. That's a simplified version, but this felt like when we spoke earlier, this felt like a Porsche. This felt like a race car. This felt something that you could really maneuver and you could still play the slow game with this, because what I noticed is for an edgeless racket, this is the first one that I played where it had an enormous sweet spot. That was the knock really for me on edgeless, designs. I played with Gearbox in the past and I played with Prokenix and I love them both. But the knock for me was if you didn't hit it dead center, you were going to get a dead ball in some level. And that is not the case with the Era 1. And so you can do both. You can really rip it. And you can be very precise in your ground strokes, but you can be incredibly nimble at the net in your speed ups, in your dinks, in your resets, all of the above. And I was like, I guess the thing that I was a little hesitant of was one, the sweet spot, and two, the shape. I was like, wow, this is wide. I've been playing with a lot of elongated stuff because that was the hot setup. So I'm getting a lot of those reviews, but I tell you, I really like the width. It seems more stable. And for somebody who's an amateur like myself, I think that's a good thing. And it gives a little bit of confidence because it feels more like a shield and something wide that you can get in front and move the ball around. And you can really get it around quick because it's not such an elongated face and a shorter handle. And I have smaller hands. So the people that might want a little longer handle, we'll talk about what you're going to do in the future in a little while. But for me, it's fine because I can get two hands on this thing fine and rip it. So I was blown away by that. And, I've never played with anything that's, even close to being similar. I play with things that are pretty good and very good, but this is just in a different place. And, so maybe talk about, you know, how you got to that, because there are some design features here that, you know, not a lot of people are aware of or using.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for the review. You know, that your feedback is, I really appreciate it. I'm a designer and industrial designer by degree. So what we are is massively neurotic on the things that we build, because we want to give out this idea that, we know what we do is good, but we really don't. We really just need approval. It's like all the create. And so we never get tired of just people saying, you know, I like what you built and, or I like what you designed. So I really appreciate it. But I mean, as you mentioned, there's a lot of great paddle companies out there. There's a few that I love. I'm a particular fan of the Gearbox and everything that they're doing. I think their engineering is ambitious and what they've produced is phenomenal. And obviously there's big brands out there like Selkirk that do a great kind of company-wide brand. You've got the newer guys like Carbon, and then some of the fly-by-nights that still make a good paddle. Spartus is one of the ones that come up recently. I learned about the owner, and there's a lot of great stuff going on in the pickleball community. Yeah. So I don't want to take anything away from that. But what, for me, it was like, they're all paddles though. They're all designed a certain way. It's more for the push game. And so what I wanted to do is move it over to rackets. And so the way that we did that, and the way that kind of separates the arm, as you said, that kind of feel, that touch, a lot of our tennis players say it feels a lot more, or they have confidence in the feeling now, because what happens is when you hit it in the middle, it's got that high torsional twist rate, about just over 7, which is very, very high for a pickleball paddle. And so you have that confidence in the racket and the feel. And that comes from the perimeter weight. And so our tennis players basically say, it feels like a Wilson with 45 string tension. I know where I'm going to place this. I know slight manipulation of the hands gives me tennis-like angles that honestly you can't really create with paddles, just because of the nature of how paddles are constructed. And obviously, as you've alluded to, the rackets are just fundamentally different. So very quickly, you know, paddles are cut out, as you said, of a honeycomb. And then usually they used to be sandwiched, glued together with an edge guard. And now the more modern ones are kind of thermoformed, which is a lot more stiffer. But the edgeless have a problem because they don't have a huge amount of perimeter weight. And a lot of people kind of inject foam in the corners to create that perimeter weight. And, you know, I was asked the other day by someone like, why don't we inject foam? And we have a little bit to fuse the core into the frame, but we don't inject foam. Reason being is we actually have that internal racket frame. So it's an independent internal frame, which creates all of the weight that we need. And then we fuse the core inside. So, you know, if you're looking at one of our Aero 1s, the reason it's double thermoformed is this is not just cut out. This whole frame here is an independent. If you took this face off, as you've alluded to before, it's going to look like a tennis racket without the strings. And then we bring that in the hexium core, we fuse it to the frame, and then we thermoform the whole thing again. Now, that's the only way you can get that racket feel. So when you're hitting with it sleeves and you're feeling and you feel that confidence and you feel that top spin and that snap and that ease through the air, what you're really doing is you're flexing the frame. And because it's not a paddle, and you know, you've got that aerofoil, which is allowing it to move through the air quicker. So we have a static weight of 8.1, but we have a swing weight of less than 109. So it swings, you know, very similar to a 7.6 weight paddle, which is very unusual. And that's a lot where the power comes from as well, because you're able to swing a relatively middle weight at 8.1 racket, but you can swing it like it's a lightweight. So that obviously force times acceleration equals power. And so you get that power that comes through along with the snap, gives you the top spin to drive that ball down. And so a lot of our tennis players are able to create a lot more speed because they're passing shots, because they're able to get that downward momentum that you need that comes from tennis. Yeah. But with paddles, it's very, very, very difficult to do. It's a different game with a paddle.
Yeah. I think what this, the Aero 1 allowed me to do was to be a little more risky in some of my shots and get away with it. Whereas I could not control it as well with what I would call a traditional paddle. specifically like drives. Like if I want to hit a drive instead of just kind of going forward and putting my momentum, I could kind of flip it a little bit and get that more of that brush feel and count on it to do what it was going to do. And that's, I think, what I enjoyed the most was I could flip the ball a little more. I could get a little nifty, a little more crafty. And it just felt like I could be, I guess the best way of putting it, a little more creative in some of my shot making, which was great because I'm like, there's a lot of things we all want to try and do and that we're not capable of doing. But I think what this racket allowed me to do was sort of, it gave me the, I guess the confidence to be more creative out on the court. And that obviously just exudes confidence in your game as well. So I think that's really what I enjoyed.
Yeah, it helps. And, you know, when we came into this, I didn't really like how a lot of, not all, but a lot of the paddles felt a little cheap and they didn't feel like they had quality. So when we were building the Aero One, I really wanted the whole brand to kind of scale the game of pickleball because, you know, you've got tennis and you've got golf and they have great brands and they're very upscale and pickleball is coming there. But when we're young as a sport, as an identity, and we're learning, but I feel like we can upscale what we're doing in the community and kind of move towards that, not the tennis necessarily, but the tennis and golf style so that you've got that. Yeah. And so I really wanted to bring that in and make things that are a little bit more indestructible, that felt a bit more Porsche, as you know, Uncrate kind of called us the Porsche pickleball. And I think that was a testament just to what we were trying to do. Same with the packaging that we're just trying to upscale everything. Yeah. As you said, feel confident. So one of the nice things that we hear about from a lot of people is, you know, when they pick it up, they just feel like they can win. And that's a big part of it. If you feel confident in the equipment, you know, that's what Nike does really well. When you put on Nike gear, you feel part of that Nike brand, like you are an athlete and you can perform and you look the part. And there's a real part of that. So we wanted to give that confidence to people. So when you grab it, this samurai sword of yours as you go onto the court, you feel like this is my katana. I can do something with it. And I know there's actually a pickleball paddle called katana. So I should probably just caveat that. I don't mean that one, but it's that feeling, right? It's that feeling of confidence in what you're using. And so, and as you said, you know, we're able to create different angles. I call them tennis angles that you don't typically see because you get more of a wristy action. You can get the power from it. A lot of the time you get what I call that tennis snap. So if you ever seen the tennis players, they sort of rise up and they sort of swing through and then they snap their wrist, which creates that downward topspin drive. Yeah. Well, it's almost impossible to do that with a paddle. I mean, some of them are a little bit better, but just the weight distribution, it's very difficult to get that rised up and snap. But with obviously a racket shape and a racket frame, that's what you find yourself doing, is that you can actually do these passing shots because you can get that tennis snap, but on the ball. And, you know, we have a pro now who's from a tennis background, and, you know, I don't blame anymore because it's just no fun for anybody.
Yeah. You
know, I'm okay. But compared to this guy, it's that, you know, last time we played, he was like, should we have another game? It was about 11. Like, you know what? I'm good. This is not fun anymore. You're destroying me. But it's because he's playing mini tennis now. Like he's had 20 years of playing tennis. He has all of those movements down, and now he's got a racket in his hand on a smaller pickleball court, and he uses that to great advantage. And I think a lot of the tennis players that use the Aero One are finding that it's just a very, like I said, not for everybody. There's nothing wrong with paddles. Paddles are great. I play with some still sometimes, not as often these days, but because my preferred style is the racket. But I really do think that the future of pickleball is going to kind of separate into these two categories. Those that like to play with paddles and the thicker cores and a bit more, not necessarily more control, but a different type of control, more of a push action.
Yeah.
And those that are going to move over to more of the tennis style play. And I know pickleball, if you just hate me bringing in the tennis idea, I just mean tennis style play. This is a bit faster. A lot more top spin, a lot more passing drives, a little less time at the net, you know, a little bit more time. Honestly, a little bit more watchable, in my opinion, like when you're not playing it. And I think there's going to be a whole cohort of people that move over to that faster game, and they're going to need racket frame designs. And to be honest, you need that internal racket frame. You need it to be double thermoformed, because you just don't get that feeling that you're talking about.
Right.
Anyway. You can't just stamp these things out. I mean, each one of the Aero ones takes 3 to 5 hours to make, because it's a long process. Yeah. And just like a tennis racket, it's the same sort of process as a tennis racket. We just fuse in a core rather than put on strings. And it takes time, but that's the only way to get the performance that we're looking for and get that feeling that you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. I think the biggest where the feeling stems for the most is it comes before, you know, even before you play with it. And obviously we talked about, you know, the unboxing I did, of this, paddle, a racket, was amazing. I mean, your presentation is phenomenal. I mean, you're getting something pretty special when you open this thing up and you look at it. And, I don't usually bring my wife out to look at the packaging that comes, because she's like, oh, another one. But I did for this one. I go, you have to see this. It's just next level. And I think, yeah, like you said, you're really sort of setting a standard for something that's high quality. And when you put it in your hand, the first thing that everybody notices before they even swing it is the handle. And the way it feels in your hand, it just feels different. And for me, the way I kind of describe how it feels like, and I know, you know, everybody's going unibody and all that stuff, but for whatever reason, this is the first, and actually up to this point, the only one that feels like it's genuinely part of the rest of the structure. And so talk about the handle, because I think in the beginning, when paddles were coming out, the handle was sort of overlooked. You know, you had a popsicle, you stick it on the end. And then obviously people were starting to go, well, the handle's a little more important. And they started to look to tennis, and they started to obviously look to the, you know, the unibody and all that, and it being part of the whole piece. But I don't know what it is. There's something about this handle that is just different. And when I hand it to somebody, right away, they always do this. They go, whoa.
Are you a devoted pickleball enthusiast in search of top-notch gear and services? Look no further than Sleeves Affiliate Shop, your ultimate destination for all things pickleball. Not only will you discover an impressive selection of Sleeves-specific merch gear, but you'll also get the chance to explore gear and merchandise that our terrific show host, Mike Sleeva, has previously reviewed. But that's not all. At Sleeves Pickleball Affiliate and Partner Shop, you'll find links to our friends of the show who offer pickleball-specific online stores, apps, and services. By stopping by and checking out our extraordinary collection, you not only enhance your game, but also show your support for our show, Sleeve Senior Pickleball Report. So why wait? Join us in celebrating the love for pickleball and dive into a world of top-notch gear and services.
Like, this is just, and they've never hit a ball yet.
Sure. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you nailed it. Like, a quick kind of history lesson on the paddles is, originally it was, like you said, lollipop stick, you stick a handle on, they kind of glued it together at the sort of joint here. And the problem was the power player started breaking them. They would fracture there. And then along came this, you know, unibody type terminology, which really just meant that instead of cutting out the face and then attaching a handle, they were sort of cutting the shape of the face plus the handle. So they would, you know, if you had a paddle shape, they would cut it all the way down. They would put down here, cut down into the handle. And then obviously then it's just flat. It's just one big board. And so what they would do is get a piece of wood and they would stick it on both sides, wood or EVE foam or something like that. And then they would wrap it and they would like form the shape, and they would call it unibody, which to a degree it was, because it was all the way down, I guess. It wasn't, it wasn't glued here. But it doesn't feel the same, because at the end of the day, it's still flat and you're just gluing things on. The difference between the Aero 1 is we're not gluing anything. So this frame that I talked about, this internal frame, it's all one piece molded and it comes all the way down. And if you unwrap this, and I wish I had one with me, if you took all the wrapping off, it's all carbon all the way down and it's formed like a tennis racket. So none of this has got wood or either foam glued down it. And that's the feeling that you're talking about. And when you say it feels like it's one piece, it's because it is one fully independently formed, independently thermoformed frame from the handle all the way around. And then instead of, then we don't glue the inside, we actually fuse the core into the racket frame and then thermoform the materials over the top. So again, it's all the feeling that you get from a product is all about how it's manufactured, and you can't fake it. So you can't kind of stamp these things out, make them look the same, cut a hole out in a paddle like some do, and be like, there you go, it looks like a racket, it's got aerodynamics. And it's like, yeah, I get what you're saying, but you're missing the point. Like, if you want to create a racket, you need a racket frame. Like, there's no other way. And if you want a handle like you're talking about that feels different, that when people hold it, they're like, oh, well, this is different. That's because it is different. It's a completely different way of making it. This, we haven't cut this handle out. We've actually, we've got a mold that we've formed that handle as part of a racket frame. So, and people feel it. They can't articulate why a lot of the time, but they know it's different. And they feel confident because this thing, you know, as I tell people, unless you John McEnroe this thing into the floor, you're not going to break it. I mean, you might chip it, you might put a cosmetic damage on it. If you are, you know, hitting it at 60 plus miles an hour all the time, maybe, just maybe, you'll be able to put a little dent in it possibly. But so far we haven't. But the one thing you're not going to do is you're not going to wail this thing into the ground and snap it in two, because it would be the same way of, you know, if you've got a tennis racket and wailing it into the ground, you're not going to snap that in two, because these things are formed in exactly the exact same manufacturing process as a tennis racket. It's longer, it's more expensive, and it's more time consuming, but I think it makes a better product and more long lasting product, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the way it looks so much that I had to put edge guard tape on the top, because I'm like, I don't want to scratch this thing up, you know, and I'm giving it to people to hit. And I'm like, I don't want them to scratch it up either. So I just put a little strip on the top of it to keep it nice.
No, we actually had a lot of people reach out, because these things, you know, it's like 5 millimeters of carbon. So you're never going to break this thing. But of course, what I didn't rely on, and this is silly because I am really particular about everything that I own. So we've got some particular edge guards that's coming through. I've actually got some samples sitting around that we're working on, because that's what people have asked for. They want, God adds extra perimeter weight that we don't need. So we're going to have a particular polymer that's clear, that keeps the logo, shows that, you know, we have this really nice 3K carbon that comes all the way around.
Right.
I want to keep that. And so in fact, if you look at one of our ones, I'll get it afterwards, but we want to keep that kind of look and feel. So I'm going to have, and we have shark skin over grips, because the handle that you were talking about, the feel of it's one thing. And then the other thing is the shark skin over grip. So when I was in my 20s, I did a lot of diving, and I did a lot of shark diving, and was fortunate to be able to look after and touch a lot of sharks.
Wow.
It's very, very particular. It's a very particular feeling. And it's sort of that grippy, gritty type. It's, I won't go into the detail, but so our shark skin grip covers are basically, they feel quite like shark skin. And what's different about them is when you hold them, they're quite, you feel confident in it. It's the shape of that plus that shark skin. But then as you sweat, and some people are more sweaty than others, the more you sweat, the more it grips. So the polymer kind of grips your hand, so it's less slippy. And so that I really like. And so we've got some shark skin over grips to come out that have our logo on and everything else, but also just adds that extra width for some of the guys on over grips and everything else. But so the over grips and the edge guard, we know we're working on it, because we've had a lot of people reach out for the exact same reason. They just don't want to scratch it.
That's the biggest thing. After a few weeks, I did put an over grip on it, but I took it off because I like, it's rare that I like a grip. Actually, that's sort of my pet peeve, is the grip. And there's all, you know, as you know, there's just, you name it, there's endless types of grips out there.
Sure.
But it changed the way it felt in my hand when I put that over grip on. So I played with it for about a week with it. I took it off. I'm like, no, I like this. I told myself at the time, I'm just going to use this until I wear this grip out, and then I'm going to ask you for another grip.
We will send you one, but you're not the only one. A lot of people have done the same thing. They like playing with an overgrip. They put an overgrip on. They didn't like the feeling of the overgrip, and they wanted the shark skin feel. And so I listened to them, and we're just, it's a little different to develop it because grips are not the same. The grip that you actually put on the production.
Right. Sure. It's a grip.
It's a grip. It's a natural grip with padding. And so we had to modify it slightly to make it work. But we think we've got something that works now. I have a few samples out with our guys that are using the overgrip, and it's got the exact same feel. And like you said, it's to add a little bit of padding or just protect it. Like, you don't want to wear it out. So we have those in production. We hope to have them out soon because, as you said, people I've really liked the shark skin. They've liked the handle, the feel. It's been surprising. The handle was not the thing I thought people would really focus in on, but a lot of people have, which I appreciate. It's one of those things that is important. Tennis players know for sure that that feeling starts with that handle grip. And it was just one of those things I couldn't understand when I was jigsawing all of those other paddles up the very first time I went out. I started cutting up the handles and realizing that they were just basically gluing everything together with bits of foam. And I was like, what is going on? Like, how much are these things? And then I'm finding out like $250. I'm like, who is paying $250 for this glued on piece of wood? This is insane. Right. And obviously, you know, the rackets are $250 now, are thermoform. They're a different caliber. And that's great. Yeah. Back then, the ones I was playing with, I was like, wow, these are a little amateur for the price. And so that's kind of what spurned it on.
I think Chris Olson, Pickleball Studio, is one of the first people to really point out the flaws within the handles in the pickleball industry, because, you know, you could still see the polymer if you'd unwrap it on the sides, and you would feel sort of boxy and sharp on the edges. And I think what gets overlooked a lot, maybe in the production of something like this, is that, you know, the only thing we're touching is the handle. And that's the most important thing. You know, they put so much emphasis on the head and everything else, but when it comes down to it, the only thing that the human contact is happening with is your hand on this handle. And so, you knocked it out of the park, obviously. And what you did is you had the combination with the grip as well. It's really, I can probably count on two or three fingers, the grips and the handle combinations that I've really come across that I like. And most of them have come really in the last 2 to 3 months. So I think there's a trend, at least in the industry, where the handle is being looked at a lot more closely, which I think is fantastic because it does make a big difference in the performance.
Yeah. And it needs to. It's like, you know, I have a pet peeve as a designer. You can't help but look at everything in the world. I have a Tesla and I love how Teslas are designed.
Yeah.
But what's easy to me is the bits that you touch are plastic rather than, you know, leather, or at least synthetic leather. And some of the Porsches are the same. And I never understood that, because when you study engineering or industrial design, which is like design and engineering, you do a lot on anthropometrics and ergonomics and like, how do people touch and feel things? And that was one of those things that when we were building the Aero One, I was like, this handle doesn't make sense. Like, it's the only part you touch. It's what gives you a ton of feel in the game. And all of these wood cutouts, they're not the same. You need to mold them. And that's the problem, though. It's like you have to have that racket frame, because you actually can't mold a handle with a paddle design, because it has to be cut out. Even the thermoformed ones, they're still cut out of the core and then thermoformed on top.
Right.
You literally have to move to rackets, to move to frames, in order to design a mold that will mold that handle out of carbon. And then you can get that perfect ergonomics. The anthropometrics are there. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I can geek out on, but we won't do right now. But basically, this long story, sorry, it all comes down to, once you run through all those and you have that opportunity, you have that ability, it's like Tesla not having an engine. They're able to do things in that car that other performances can't, because they have to deal with oversteer and understeer, whereas Tesla doesn't, because the battery goes across the entire car. It's perfectly balanced. So they're able to do things other people can't. It's the same with ARM and the Aero One. Because we have a racket frame, we're able to do things that other people can't. And therefore, our products are able to have the characteristics of things that others can't. And people might not be able to articulate why they like it. They just know they like it. And what I'm saying there is the reason you like the handle and others have is because it's molded. It's not being cut. And that makes a huge difference when it comes to sports equipment.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, you know, we talked a little bit about some of the things that you've learned, obviously, you know, developed an overgrip and some edge guard that's clear. And, you know, putting out a paddle, there's in any product you put out, you learn from it and you go, okay, when I do something next, here's what I want to try and do. So maybe talk a little bit about what's coming up for you and some of the things you learned, obviously, from putting out the Aero One.
Yeah. I mean, some of the best things I've learned is this is a great industry. I've been in quite a few industries in my time, and this is by far the most fun. Like, the pickleball community is full of incredible people. And I have never been part of a community or sold a product. And I've had a few companies that sold products. You don't get the same feedback. I mean, I have people reaching out to our team daily with recommendations, thoughts that they've had, ways that they would do it better. And sometimes there are ways that they think could be improved, and that all of that is great. It's just, it's incredible to watch how passionate people are. They'll reach out and send paragraphs in on how they're thinking, how it felt. And, you know, I'm kind of like committed to reading each one, which is becoming a bit of a problem right now. But they write incredibly long emails that I really appreciate. And they're very, very passionate about game, about the sports, about their community. And so the first thing that I've really learned is this is one of, if not the best company I've ever, you know, started or been a part of, especially the most fun product I've ever designed, is simply because the community is so responsive. And I love that. And, you know, I hope to a degree polarize it a little bit, but in the best possible way. Like, for the benefit of the sport, because I really do think pickleball is going to continue to grow in dominance, continue to bring so much joy to everybody that's playing. It's just such a great opportunity. I don't get to play it as much as I used to now because I spend half my time designing stuff, but it's just that's to say the first thing, that's what I've learned. And then the second one is following on from that, people will tell you what they want. Like,
they will, as we found out in my comments.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, those, I try and get back to those kind of guys as well. And, you know, you get all sorts of people and people will tell you what they want and what they don't like. They will tell you how to spell racket or not spell racket. They will tell you it's called a racket or not a racket. And they will get incredibly passionate about it.
Where are the strings?
They will die on every possible hill. It's incredible. You know, what they'll do is they'll tell you what they want. And so what we try and do here now is we just try and listen to everybody. Obviously, some people come up with some crazy ideas. A lot of what people reach out with isn't technically possible for one reason or another. Maybe it's engineeringly not technically possible, or there are USPA rules that you have to abide by that probably aren't the best for the game, but they're the rules. They're the ones that you have to play for at this moment. You know, the USAPA are doing a great job in kind of trying to grow the sport and bring it together, and they're working through some things, but you still have to sit underneath those rules to keep it fair for everybody. So there's kind of two technicalities. So I get a lot of people reaching out with what I should do, and I completely agree with them. I just can't do it. It's either technically not possible or not cost effective, or it's currently against the rules, you know. And but there's also some incredible ideas. And the more you talk to people, obviously, we're coming out with an Aero One Pro, which is an elongated version of the Aero One, because for those players that are 4.0 and above, that want that extra reach, they've got the two-handed backhand, and they want that extra half inch. So the Aero One Pro is in development, and hopefully will be out. So I'm not going to give a time frame, because I always do that. Yeah. Never quite sure, but it's going to be exactly like the Aero One, same frame. We're trying to modify the core to try and extend that sweet spot. Cause as you know, as most people know, I think now, once you get an elongated frame, as you tighten up those edges, as you bring the width in, you tighten up the sweet spot, you make things, it's a little less forgiving, especially on just, I'm trying to counteract that with some of the stuff that we're working on. But for 4.0 players and above, you know, they're hitting it in the center 95% of the time. They don't need that extra forgiveness. What they want is the extra leverage and the extra power. So we're going to keep our for the most part, our product line, very, very simple, kind of follow the Apple mentality of having an Era 1 and an Era 1 Pro for the 4.0s and above, or just those that like to play with an elongated, and then an Era 2 and an Era 2 Pro and Era 3. We don't really want to spread ourselves too thin and have 50 different that we can't really get on top of. We just want to every year or 18 months or whatever it's like.
Well, you couldn't keep up with the emails anyways with that.
Well, exactly, exactly. It's hard enough to keep it up with one. So we just want to kind of focus down, keep it and make it really simple for people that we're going to put in the very best racket technology that we possibly think in any given year, and we're going to make it into that iteration of the Era 1 or the Era 1 Pro. And we know there'll be people that might want it slightly this way or might want it slightly that way. And we get that. We're just going to do the very best that we possibly can on this one product in these two iterations, and then just move from there and just move forward on trying, just like, you know, the MacBook Pro and the MacBook. It's just
absolutely
done very, very well. And it's a little less confusing for people because now there's a lot of paddle companies that have 10, 20, 30 paddles, and they're all named different things. You never quite sure which is the latest one, why that one's better than this one, why that's not. I mean, we might actually just do an Era 1 Evo, which is just with an Evo foam, because I have some prototypes out in the moment. Now, that is a rocket ship.
I'm sure.
I would not recommend, like, we'll probably do a limited run. It will not be USPA approved. Like, it is totally illegal. You cannot use this in tournament, but it is fun to play with because you hit it. Yeah. I mean, if you imagine the EVA foam of like the vice, which is paddle shape, and then you multiply that by a racket frame with the flex and the snap, it is unreal how hard you can hit this thing. But
you could kill grandma with it.
Grandma would struggle. Yeah. Don't, if anyone, please, no, don't put that out there, Sleeves. Now I'm going to have more emails coming in. Like, I played with this EVA foam and now my grandma's dead. And no, I can't have that weighing on my, please, everyone, like, PSA. Nobody hit hard against your grandmother. Play nice.
Yeah, yeah. Play nice with your qualified partner and opponents.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, hey, I appreciate your time, Johnny. I'm really looking forward to what you're doing in the future because you've clearly knocked it out of the park. And you know, the people that love it, the people that hate it, they are engaged and they know and they know the Era 1 regardless. And what's coming from you, I'm sure is going to be exciting. It's going to look great. It's going to feel great. And I really appreciate you taking the time. And it's my favorite racket. It is.
It's
my only racket, but I'll tell you, you know, I play with a lot of different things and I keep reaching back in there because there are, like we talked about it, this thing just does some stuff that others don't. That's really what it comes down to it. And I appreciate the opportunity to play it and to sit down. And I'm glad you got a chance to sit down and we could record this. We've talked in the past, but it's nice for some other folks to kind of see where you're coming from and what's coming from Om. So,
yeah, well, I appreciate it. And I hope we stick around for a while because we like it. There's a lot of great competition out there, but we think we have something that we can really help the industry move forward on. So we hope we're around for many, many years to come. We've got some exciting stuff in the pipeline. Maybe we'll be doing another interview in a year's time with a whole bunch of other stuff that we're bringing to the market. And who knows, maybe the industry will start moving over to rackets as well, which will be a good thing. You know, I do think the racket frame is going to be the future. So I'm sure there will be other companies that start doing variations of it, hopefully not copying the Era 1 directly and what we do, but there'll be variations of it, I'm sure. And that's a good thing for the sport. So we'll see where it goes. It can be... we can have that polarizing paddles versus racket type pickleball. And we'll get all the YouTubers on it and see which side of the line they fall. Paddles or rackets?
Absolutely. Paddles or rackets. Hey, folks, all the information you need about Om and the Era 1 are in the description, plus the discount for the promo code if you want to get this racket. And I do highly recommend it. All right. Hey, Johnny, thanks. And we'll catch up hopefully in a year from now and see what you're doing.
Sounds great. Take care, Steve.
Hope you enjoyed our interview with Johnny and all things on pickleball. All right, folks, at the end of the day, hey, let's pickle.